You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Welcome in, everyone. Yes, I am Dr. Edvige, and it's such a joy to be here with you this week. Again, you know that Affirmations for Living is all about bringing you spiritually enlightened people from all around the world as we look deeper into principles that truly can change your life. And we offer the tools that will help support the manifestation of your dreams and your desires. Today's show, we discuss healing your soul with Fran Czarnecki. Pharmaceutical companies search endlessly, as you know, for new medications to sell in the marketplace. They don't really, if you listen to all those commercials out there, they give you all the little side things that can happen by taking this medication. It's quite interesting. But most of these remedies are created to suppress symptoms. Consumers have allowed themselves to be locked into this failing system of drug treatment, according to Fran. Well, according to so many, for sure. Helping others to heal themselves and grow is her lifelong commitment. Francesca's approach to health encompasses all levels of being. And that's so important that you hear that. It is all about the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the physical. She believes the process of getting healthy begins at spirit level and filters down to the denser physical levels. Of course, as above, so below. As within, so without. So everything first is probably created on the inside. So welcome, Fran. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me this evening.
My pleasure. So, you know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of spiritual healing and physical healing and soul healing, tell me a little bit about who you are and what has your spiritual journey looked like?
Well, I have been on my journey since the get-go. So that means that back in my 20s, I started on this journey. Mm-hmm. And I began really with the study of numerology. I am a numerologist, and I use a lot of numbers and studying and reading numbers when I work with people in counseling. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be very highly effective, highly accurate in looking at people's lives and the timing of certain events in their lives. A lot about karma and reincarnation you can read with the numerology. And sometimes people need a perspective on their life, on here is my life, what's going on with my life. So I started with the numerology, and I worked with that for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually, part two of my career, although I still love numerology and I work with it a lot, but I started with the Healing My Soul program, which is a program that I wrote. Mm-hmm. And maybe like so many other inventors out there in the world, I started the Healing My Soul program because I had a health crisis that the doctors couldn't fix me. So I had to go and find some answers for myself, and I did that and with the development of Healing My Soul. Now, this isn't something that happened overnight, the program, mm-hmm. Healing My Soul. It took me many, many years of development to working with this program and practicing it, and I also teach the Healing My Soul program now.
So what caused you, so you were ill yourself, and that propelled you into finding some way to address it since doctors couldn't. And we're going to get into that. So was that your spiritual awakening figuring out that you could heal yourself, that you could actually be an empowered being. Was that how you found your path?
Well, you know, that was a big wake-up call. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times you feel like, oh, you know, the bell went off, the lights and whistles, and oh, and I see, mm-hmm. I see the light or something. But, you know, I have gone through several levels and layers of that. So I continue to study and work on my programs and to develop that healing system that I have for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in this healing system, the basis of this healing system is that when we look at a human being, we have to address them on four, I have four basic levels. And
mm-hmm.
I ask people to imagine this maybe in a way that you would imagine those great big Olympic rings. They're all, each ring is independent, yet they are interconnected. And those four levels are the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, and the spirit body. Now, we all have four bodies. Out of those four bodies, the only body that will at some point die is the physical,
mm-hmm.
because that is the nature of our physical reality here in this dimension.
Absolutely.
And so all things, no matter how good of care you take of it, it doesn't live forever in the physical world. So the physical drops away eventually. But the mental does not die. The emotional does not die. The spirit body does not die. And in each case, I would say, there is nothing there to die,
mm-hmm.
because there has to be something physical to have a physical death.
Yes, absolutely.
So what happens with these other levels, the mental, the emotional, and the spirit body, is it's kind of like a computer. You know, when our computer crashes, we know it's failing. We quick get our little zip drive in there and download all the information. Then we go out and buy a new computer, put the little zip drive in, and upload all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with people. So our mental, emotional, and our records in our spirit body are all uploaded to the new physical body, and on we go about our life.
Okay, so let me just back you up for a second. So when did you have your spiritual, you said you were always spiritual, so at what moment in your life did you realize that you were a spiritual being? Before you ever got involved with creating the healing for the soul, what had your journey looked like to that point?
Well, I'm always working like a philosopher in these fields, studying occult, esoteric knowledge,
mm-hmm.
kind of studying the invisible
mm-hmm.
planes of existence. And I've done a lot of work with out-of-body travel, and I studied at the Monroe Institute.
So spirituality was something that you were always drawn to. So you have
absolutely.
So from the youngest you can remember, you've always just been into the spiritual realms, always recognized that you are the spiritual being. So there was never a time where you had an aha moment?
I think the aha moment, I was always on the pathway, but when certain doors would open to me,
mm-hmm.
I've had many aha moments, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if for many years before I developed the Healing My Soul program, when I had my healing crisis for 10 years, I did a meditation with one other person, and it was just a private meditation. It was nothing commercial or nothing we wrote a book about or anything, but for 10 years, every Monday night we met, and we meditated, and a great spiritual being came to speak with us. And so we took notes, my friend took notes, I was the channel, and we learned and learned and learned and learned. And every Monday night was an aha moment for me.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I wanted to know what was the turning point. That would definitely have been the turning point. Because so many people listening, you know, they are lost. They may not be totally understanding their spiritual path or purpose or whatever. And so I like to always share with, you know, even the enlightened ones will have a moment that something turned on and so helped to move them to a point of their awakening. So it's always lovely to share what that point of your awakening looked like so that the audience knows that it's possible for them as well. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it was interesting towards the end of when my friend Evelyn and I, we did all this meditation, and towards the end, well, I think it was probably in one of the very last sessions we had with our master, Tim, and that is spelled T-H-E-M, and it is pronounced T-E-M, Tim. And Tim told us, questioned us and said, why are you having second thoughts about being a doctor? It's too late. You already are. And it was such an odd thing because at that point I hadn't even started the Healing My Soul program, and here is this avatar saying, you already are a doctor. What are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an odd moment. And it wasn't long after that that I had my crisis. And my crisis was that I had a bleed in my brain. And it was very deep in my brain, and the doctors came in and said, there is nothing they could do for me. And and that will be $15,000, please.
Yeah, okay.
There is nothing we can do.
That would definitely be the system.
And so basically they sent me home and see you, lady. And so that was a wake-up call for me. And so there was no help, so I had to figure it out.
Okay. Wow. So the word healing takes most people to thinking about the physical body. You, however, direct your attention to the soul. And now with your program, Healing My Soul, can you explain what the soul, why the soul needs healing?
Okay. And, you know, when I have been out and about talking with people, so many times when people think about the soul, you play that little word game with that association game with people, and I say soul, you say heaven. I say soul, you say God. I say soul, you know, it's all these kind of pure and heavenly and angelic and some other worldly realm that the soul lives on. Nobody says to me, I say soul, you say play bingo. I say soul, you say I'm going to dye my hair. Or some other, I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't associate these darker sides of expression with the soul. And yet it is the soul. It is the soul who shoots the gun. It is the soul who is depressed. It is the soul. This is the darkness of the soul. And so every soul needs healing. And everything in our life is expressed from the soul. So it's like this, if we were in a movie theater and we're watching the screen and all of a sudden we say, gee, I don't like what I see on that screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the medical doctor gets up there in his white coat and his little scalpel and says, I'll fix this, and he's going to start cutting up the screen. And it's like, wait, before you cut that screen, why don't we go back to the projection booth and talk to the projectionist, and maybe we can get the projectionist to project some different movie on the screen.
Makes sense. And,
okay, so this is what we're doing in Healing My Soul. And, of course, many people have a bad physical problem when they come for soul healing. And I am not a medical doctor. However, uh-huh. after getting soul healing, many people that come to me for soul healing do have miraculous physical changes, because it is the soul that's projecting the cancer. It is the soul that's projecting the irritable bowel, or it is the soul that has MS.
Let me interject and let me ask you this. Then define the soul as you've come to know it.
Define it?
Yes, because everyone listening, they're wondering, okay, what part of me is the soul? How is that part? Is that part sad? So what, you know, what would be the soul to you that is the projector?
Well, it's kind of hard to define, to put it in a little box here, but all parts of us, there isn't anything that we know that's outside of this idea of the soul. It's projecting emotion and mental and my physical and my whole life. There is nothing outside of that. So it is us. It is the whole totality of us, and it is not just me here now. It is the past, the present, the future. It is the past life, the present life, the future life. It is mm-hmm. all that I am. And to define that is very hard, because what constitutes all that I am? I know some of who I am. Do I know all of who I am? So it seems to go beyond our personality of the right now. It's our soul is a very big deal.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
And so, you know, we do know our soul in the terms that we understand it in our lives. Everything that's going on in our life, the soul is involved in. It's all part of the projection.
Yeah.
So,
it's a part of us, just like our soul, our higher self. They are different aspects of our higher self, right?
Correct. And our high self is the channel, is the proper channel where we can work with the highest part of our being, and we can work with our soul. So it's very important in my healing that I make sure that first of all, I make sure that the person is clear to do the healing work. And then I have to make certain that they are in alignment with their high self. Because there is a protocol of how all of this works. So I have to be clear, and I have to be in alignment with my high self.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I'm working with you, I have to make sure you are clear and you are in alignment with your high self. Then when I have that clarity, I ask the two high selves to join together and to work together. So my high self works with the person's high self, and really what I'm doing throughout this healing is I am taking notes on all the conversation, and I am speaking out loud with my voice. I'm not in a trance. I am speaking out loud with the person's high self, and I am taking notes. So during this healing, I always call myself, I am the director. I am the stage director. I am on the stage, and I am directing, and I'm asking questions, and I'm saying, will you please do this? Can we go here? What about this? So I'm directing the show. But when the actual healing takes place, the actual healing is done by the person's high self. It does the clearing of the illness. So I always say, you know, it's really against the rules of the FDA and the AMA that I can't heal anyone. I'm not a doctor. So I always make the joke and say, hey, if anybody's going to jail, it's going to be you, because you healed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I have had people healed of very serious illnesses.
So
illnesses,
let me ask you this. Explain why the soul needs healing. Isn't the soul a perfect part of you? So what's going on in the soul that it would manifest down into a physical illness? Why does the soul need healing?
I guess there must be a mistake there. I guess our soul is in development, and our soul does carry all of these imperfections and all of the mistakes of the past. And our soul, in our psychic body carries all of that. And so our soul is evolving. Our soul needs clearing. Our soul needs to have healing.
Okay.
It's not our physical body that needs healed. And so many illnesses, and I'm not talking about contagious diseases where we could perhaps get an inoculation, but I am talking about the diseases that are chronic, that the doctors have looked at for 100 years and have no cure, and mm-hmm. can look at for another 100 years, and they will still find no cure.
And can't figure them out.
And they will never figure it out because they are looking to find the cause on the physical body. And that's not where the cause is. The cause is on the spirit body, perhaps, or the mental or the emotional body. And so if they're looking in the wrong room, it's like if I were looking for my car keys, but I will only search my office, I am not going to go into the kitchen, but maybe the keys are in the kitchen. So if I stay in this office for all eternity, I will never find my keys because they're not in here. And that is exactly what's going on with some medicine. Until they are willing to look at the spirit body and accept that we have a spirit body. I mean, imagine we have a spirit body, we have a mental body, emotional body, and a physical body. There's four bodies. But they're only going to look at one-fourth of the total being. I'm only going to look at the physical. Well, you're never going to. There's three-quarters of the human being you're not going to look at?
Yeah, absolutely. I know as I do energy work on people, it's always about clearing the emotional and getting to the energetics of who you truly are as a spiritual being, because it's always created there. Does mm-hmm. a person need to be physically ill or have a disease to experience your type of healing?
No, they do not. And I encourage people to get healing while they are not sick, because we have so many things that are waiting for us, so many karmas. I could be perfectly healthy, but there's a karma out there that's rotating like a planet around. And when it comes close and I engage in it, then maybe I'm going to have to pay the piper or have some kind of malady because of this karma. But what you can do with the healing is before these things happen, before you engage in it, you clear it. You clean it off of the record book before it comes around,
before it manifests.
And so it makes your life really free and easy and joyful to get some of this stuff cleared out before it manifests.
Interesting. So what are some of the issues that can be helped with healing the soul?
Well, I've had people come for healing because they wanted a new boyfriend, or they wanted more money, or they wanted a different job. All of those kinds of things can be helped with healing. And, of course, I have had people come because they have physical problems. And I've had many people come and not tell me that they have a physical problem. And that's okay. Again, I'm not a doctor. You don't have to sit down and tell me all your problems. But I have had people that never told me they had a skin disease since they were 3 years old. And then all of a sudden, here I am, 30 years old, and it suddenly went away. I've been to every doctor in the world. I've used every cream and antibiotic and this and this and this, and nothing has ever helped the skin disease, and it disappeared after one healing with you. These are the kind of results that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I get lots of these. And but I'll tell you some things that are not about the physical body. One of my very favorite episodes I had was this lady, and she was older, and she had a very hard life, extremely hard life. She grew up being with a stuttering problem, and she said she wasn't able to get that under control until she was into her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she grew up with absolutely no friends. She said, "Do you know what it's like to be a child and have nobody pick you ever for a friend, to be your friend or to be on their team?" And everyone laughed at her. She was mocked her whole life. She ended up into a marriage with a controlling, abusive husband. And then as her life evolved out, she eventually, her husband, he got Alzheimer's. And so late in her life, she found herself as being in charge of everything. And so after healing, she said to me, she said, "Well, it didn't work for me. Nothing mm-hmm. happened." And sometimes people will say this because they're just not realizing. So
that
I said
something's
to her,
going on, exactly.
Right. So I say to this lady, I say, "Well, tell me what's going on in your life. What did you do this weekend?" And she said, "Well, I was up in my attic, and I was cleaning out boxes, and I found my blue suit." And she said, "I never thought that blue suit would fit me." And she said, "I put it on and it fit. It fit perfectly." So I wore it to church, and I went to church on Sunday. I wore my blue suit. And then, you know, Francesca, the oddest thing happened to me after church. And I said, "Well, what was that?" And she said, "Well, when we were walking out and everyone shaking hands," she said, "everyone started coming up to me and hugging me."
Mm, how lovely.
And I know, and I said, "Well, that's kind of normal after church. Didn't anyone ever hug you after church?" She said, no one ever hugged me.
So do you find that there's any one particular type of symptom that a lot of souls have? Will a lot of souls experience physical pain, or is there any one particular malady that seems to be in common with most of these things, or is it totally different and unique to each soul?
Well,
you know, like a lot of pain, are people finding back pain? Is that a lot of what issues bother the soul, or is it anything from pain to an ulcer? Is it just all sorts of things?
It's all sorts of things. Mm. I had one man who he had an issue with his, he was an older man, and he had to have a catheter all the time, and he was not able to pee anymore. So after healing, he recovered. And do you know where we spent all the time in his healing? I spent a good solid hour clearing up money issues, poverty issues. I feel bad about myself. I'm afraid I don't have enough money. I mean, I just could not believe how this man was saturated with money issues. So it was the money issues that was causing the problem in the urinary tract.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you this. When you bring up the words alternative healing, many people think about Reiki. So is healing my soul similar to that?
No, it is not. Okay. And that is a common question that I get asked. And I think it's just because that so many people know Reiki. Or they,
exactly.
Even if they
yeah.
don't
I
know
get asked
what
that
it is,
question all the time.
They know the word.
Yeah.
So they ask, is it Reiki? But when I do this healing, a person can come into my office for the healing, mm-hmm. or they do not have to come in the office. I am not waving my hands over their body or doing anything to their physical body. So if the person does come into my office, I give them a comfortable chair. They sit down. I say, "Relax." I say, "You can listen to me talking, and I want you to listen. But if you find yourself drifting off, don't fight to be present here. because I will take good notes and we'll go over this when I'm finished.
Okay.
And so most of the time, if they come into my office, most of the time they fall asleep.
So then how does
it
work? How does it work then? What's the procedure?
Well, because if they're not there, whether they're there or whether they're not there, I am standing usually, and I am in conversation with their high self. So I'm talking out loud the entire time about issues and challenges and what's the matter here, and do we need to have past life research about this issue? And then if the high self says, yes, you need to have some past life research, then I go and start asking questions about past life and what the problems were, and they're giving me feedback, and I'm taking notes. So it's a good thing that the person does not have to be here with me, and really the farthest away I've worked is I had a person in Germany who had a problem. He had had a heart attack, actually, and of course, I didn't know he had a heart attack. A friend of his in the United States called me and said, I have a friend in Germany who needs help. Can you do a healing on this man? So I said, sure, I'll do a healing on this man.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I do a healing on him. Little did I know that he had had a heart attack, that he had to have heart surgery and all this. So I do the healing. In the meantime, he's going in the hospital the next day for his operation, and when he goes into the hospital the next day to be operated on, they said, well, you don't have a heart problem. There was never any heart attack here. And they sent him home.
Wonderful.
And he never got the operation.
Wow.
And so actually, due to that man, I had so many clients in Germany, and then eventually, this went on for years, and his name is Peter, is his first name, and he sent me so many clients, and then I would send him the results, and then he and his daughter would translate the results and give these reports to the German people. But they have come to the United States and worked with me and did classes with me, and now Peter and Claudia are doing the work in Germany.
Oh, beautiful. So let me ask you, when medical doctors, you know, when they can't find a solution to a problem, they often attribute the illness to stress. We hear that all the time. We're overstressed.
Mm-hmm.
Can stress cause physical illness?
I suppose it can.
Yeah.
But I think that that is getting to be a very tired cop-out.
Mm.
I wish they would just say, we don't know.
Mm.
Because, yes, stress can cause problems. Of course it can cause problems. But we're, you know, everybody on this planet is under a lot of stress. So it's a wonder everybody's not more ill than they already are.
Do you think the subconscious plays a role in this?
Absolutely. We do a lot of planning in our subconscious mind, and sometimes we do plan out to have accidents and illnesses, and we plan out to get certain problems and diseases. I had a woman I worked with in Philadelphia. I live near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I've never met this woman. She called me, and she didn't tell me anything about herself, and all I could get was just, that she was planning on getting dementia, why, and all of this stuff. So I'm working with all this dementia and why she wants to get this and how she's planning to get this. And so when I gave her the report, and sometimes when I'm giving these reports, I sometimes feel a little hesitant. I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, this is what I got. And so this woman was just overjoyed because she said her whole life she's been obsessed with dementia. She's been always thinking she's going to get dementia. And that is all gone for her now. It is all over. It's finished. But there she was planning that. And sometimes people are aware that they're planning it. Sometimes people are not aware. You know, it's like my husband and I have a very good friend who will not go on a cruise. He will not get on a ship. And he said, because I died on a ship He knows that he died on a ship. He knows he went down on a ship, so mm-hmm. he can't do...
So he has a phobia.
He has a phobia. He will not do that in this life. Well, that's okay. But he has an awareness, mm-hmm. whether it's in his cellular memory or his subconscious memory. He has a memory of that. You just don't make stuff up like that. He has a memory of that that is surfacing in him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have full recollect of it, but he knows that this happened to him.
So you would be able to heal his soul of this traumatic experience, and then that would release it from him in this lifetime?
Perhaps. I have, in his particular case, I have not been able to help him erase that. I did have a woman, though, who came to me who was very phobic about getting on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And so she quit a really good job because she said, they want me to go to a meeting once a month in Chicago. I can't do it, she said, and I've run out of excuses, and I cannot get on that plane, and I will not go to that meeting. So I worked with her one time, and in one time, it was over for her. She could get on a plane, and she was so thankful because she said, here I am, 45 years old, and I would not leave the city. I've never been on a nice vacation because I will not get on a plane.
So why? And what was she afraid of? What was the issue with her soul?
Do you know what the issue was? It was so interesting to me, is I could see her so clearly in a past life, and she was a religious leader, and that her little her band of little ragtag followers revolted against her and were really angry with her and throwing vegetables at her, and we are not believing you and we're not following you anymore. So she was afraid now, since she felt she failed as a religious leader, she was afraid to go to the heavens. To get in, if you get in a plane, you're going up into the sky. So
wow.
She wasn't going up there anymore because she had done that and she failed. She failed her people. And I thought that was very unusual because usually you think, oh, well, if maybe they were in a plane crash in a
exactly.
past life.
Exactly.
But in this case, it was a little different. And I thought that was very interesting. So, and it held up for her. She said the first time she went to Miami after that, she said, I took one of my kids, I made them come with me because I was afraid that once I got on the plane, I'd panic. She said, but you know what? I didn't need them, and I didn't panic. And she's been going on vacation ever since.
That's lovely. Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, do you have to go into a meditation or a trance to do this type of work?
I am not in, I have to say I'm not in the trance and I am talking out loud, but I am in kind of an altered
state.
I'm in an altered state of awareness, I would say.
Okay.
But I'm not sitting with my eyes closed.
So you're going into theta or something like that, perhaps? Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty close to just being totally conscious. That was another thing when I did that channeling for 10 years. I never would lose consciousness. I was always conscious while it was going on, and the words were just coming through me. But I was always conscious, and I am always conscious while I am doing this healing.
Mm.
I just find that I'm very, part of me, I just feel very tuned in,
mm-hmm.
very tuned in, like, on another channel.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the person? Do they have to be resting or in any sort of meditative state?
No. When I'm working with someone who is not here in my office, I always tell them, just go about your business, do whatever you're doing on your regular schedule, on your regular day. There's nothing special you have to do. I do all the work. That's what you're calling me for, to do the work, and I work with your high self, and you just live your life. And so most of the time, my number one comment I hear from people is, I feel lighter. I just feel different. Now, I've had people that feel super happy and giddy and energetic. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me anymore, but at first it would surprise me when I think, gee, how does that person feel so good? They're in California. I'm in Pennsylvania. But I think after Peter was cured of his heart attack and he was in Germany, I thought I started accepting it more. But it's kind of amazing.
Energy.
It's amazing for me, working as your healer, that this is going on. So over such great distance. But there is no difference because I'm calling, when I start my healing, I call to the person's high self, and I ask that the person's high self be here in the room with me right now. And they come and they are in the room with me.
Yeah, of course, because energy is energy and it can move anywhere through time and space. It doesn't know any boundaries. And it's wonderful because, you know, that higher self, the higher aspects, wants the physical to be healthy and to be happy and joyful. So those higher parts are more than willing to come forth to assist because they want the physical person to be love and healthy and joyful. So it's beautiful to see how the higher self will eagerly come forth to do that assisting. Do you have some cases or any cases that you think really stand out that the audience would like to hear?
Yes, I have a case where I was teaching class, and it was a beginner class. My classes are taught on three levels. The first level is called foundation training. The second level is advanced energy healing. And the third is called energy reprogramming. So I was teaching a class in Florida. I teach in Florida twice a year in May and October. And the one lady in my class, we're into the class. It's a five-day class, so we were at the third day. And she said that she got a call from her niece, and she said her niece had previously had cancer, and she had a very virulent form of cancer, and she, whatever it was, she said they told her during her first treatments, her first cancer treatments that they gave her, they said, we can only give you this treatment one time in your life, and if you have a reoccurrence, we can never repeat this. So she got better at that point, but then she had a reoccurrence. And she was in her 30s, so she had this relapse, and she called her aunt from the hospital, and she said to her Aunt Sherry, she said, oh, it's back. And she said, it's over for me. I'm finished. And so her aunt said, well, please hang in. I'm working with a new technique, and I would like to work on you. Just hang in. Don't give up yet. So she worked on her, and 2 days later, she's back in the hospital to get more tests. And the young woman said, she's sitting in this room, and she said, I kept feeling like everyone was looking at me. I kept thinking these technicians were walking through the room looking at me. And she said, finally, this one technician came up to her and said, why did your doctor send you here? And she said, oh, she knew right then and there they couldn't find the cancer.
Amen.
It had disappeared. And here was my Sherry, my student, who was only 3 days into class, and she worked with what she had, and she was able to help her niece.
So can anyone learn this modality? Can anyone learn how to do this healing?
Yes, anyone can learn to do this healing, and everyone is capable of doing this healing. One of my mottos is every family needs a spiritual healer. Yet at the same time, everyone can do it, and yet it does help if you have a little bit of a bend towards this type of work. You know, it's like I certainly could learn how to cut my own hair, but I prefer not to. I like to go to my hairdresser, and I like him to cut my hair. You see what I mean?
Oh, but
that's not my calling. I could learn it, but it's not my calling. So this type of healing, everyone can do it. Absolutely everyone can. Sometimes people are more, you know, they're more drawn to a certain profession. So
Yeah, so would this person, you know, if they don't believe in God or they're not particularly spiritual, would they still be able to do this healing work?
Yes, they would be able to do this healing work.
So
and
now,
I have,
let me ask you this. So then, okay, so they're calling to your high self. What if this person has blocks themselves, right? And they're in their head, and they don't believe that they can hear or communicate with the unseen. So how do you break through that?
Well, first of all, the high self, my high self is me. Your high self is you. And we have a high self and we have a low self. And as we are evolving, we are merging slowly to become our high self, to be one with our high self.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people will, that is a stumbling block I find that some students have, that, oh, the high self is so perfect. How could I ever
communicate?
How could I be that perfect? You know, maybe in the future, maybe sometime in the future I'll be perfect, but I know I'm not perfect now. So I tell them to think about, if it is in the future, then we'll call the future. For instance, right now, if I call my healers in Germany, they are 6 hours ahead of me. So if it's 9 o'clock my time, it's 3 o'clock in the morning their time. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning their time, I haven't come to 3 o'clock in the morning yet. That's my future. And if I call them and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they're talking to me at 9 p.m. They're talking to the past. They already had 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking on the phone, which time zone are we in? Is it 3 in the morning or is it 9 o'clock at night? Which time zone are we in?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that when you do this healing. You kind of get outside of the time zone. It's like if you were on the space station. You're up on the space station. You're looking down and you say, gee, look at that. You can see the United States. Oh, and there's the Mississippi River. Oh, and look at that. There's the west coast of America. So if you can look and you can see all these different places, which time zone are you in?
Mm.
So we can call the future. Just like I could call the future in Germany right now, I can call the future of myself. And the future of myself is my perfected self. So it's like getting on the telephone and talking to myself in the future. And I do have a whole system I've developed. I have all these charts and graphs and all this guidance that tells you, okay, go here, go here. It's like a big graph, and you follow the directions. If you just follow my directions, you get there.
Perfect. Beautiful. Let's give out all your contact information.
Okay. My webpage is lovepowerwisdom.com. And I am Fran at lovepowerwisdom.com. And I do have a business telephone, and that is area code 724-845-1407. And I'll say it again. I have so many telephone numbers that I had to think. 724-845-1407. But if you go to my site, lovepowerwisdom.com, you will see an explanation about the healing. You will see an explanation about my readings and numerology and information about classes. So I have all kinds of information there. So I do encourage people to go to lovepowerwisdom.com.
Beautiful. Thank you. I want to thank you for your time. This has been quite insightful. There we have it, another episode of After Living. I'm Dr. Advij. Until next time, be blessed. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Advij. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edvige. Namaste.